I'm Leanna Shields, and you're listening to The Cozy Sleuth. Today, Snoops and Sleuths, I have with me Dominic. I am so sorry, my brain is just went completely out the window.
It's Dominica, though.
Dominic Doe, did you say?
Doe, yeah.
Here to talk about her books, writing, and all things cozy. Dominique, would you like to introduce yourself to my Snoops and Sleuths?
Hi there. Yes, so I'm Dominique Daou. I'm a French-Canadian indie author, hence the strange last name to most listeners. I've been writing cozies for about a year now, and this is my first podcast interview, so I'm very excited.
Why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about your book?
Yes, so right now I have two series. The first one I published last year is the Deadly Exclusives trilogy. It's set in Montreal in the 1930s, and it's about Rita, who is a newbie reporter for one of Montreal's biggest newspapers. But because she's so new, she's assigned all the kind of boring stories that she calls like housewife stories, and she really wants to, you know, write more important stuff. And she overhears that there is a maid that went missing at a fancy hotel, so she takes it upon herself to go undercover as a maid to figure out what happened. So that's the start of the whole trilogy, and she discovers stuff about herself as well. So I have that. So that's three books already released. And I currently have the Silver Screen Coven series, which is set also in 1930s, but in Hollywood, specifically MGM Studios, because I'm obsessed with that whole era. So we have Annabelle, who's a former Texas pageant beauty queen who was recruited to be an MGM extra. But when she gets over there, she realizes being an extra on movies is not really her strong suit. So she gets recruited to be in the publicity department. And while there, she's assigned kind of the menial tasks, and she stumbles upon what she thought was a prop book on one of the sound stages during the filming of a witchy movie. And it ignites a power within her and amongst a few other people. And then together they have to understand why they got their powers while also solving a murder. So for that series, I have the first book out, Hollywoodland Magic. And the second book, The Coveted Spell Book, will be released on June 27th. And the pre-orders are up on Amazon.
Oh, wow. Oh. Both of those sound great. I get the being obsessed with that era of Hollywood. I love the classic black and white movies.
Mm-hmm. It's so different from now, you know, so it makes it extra interesting.
Yeah. I actually love them so much that I had my main character, Sabia, able to quote old movies at the drop of a hat. So it gave me a chance to Easter egg some of my favorite old movie quotes.
Oh, that's a good feature to put in there.
So is any of your writing inspired by your actual life?
Some of it, yes. For the Deadly Exclusives trilogy that's set in Montreal, well, I studied journalism myself. I haven't really done much with a degree, but I was inspired by the whole journalism background for the main character, Rita. And my first job was also as a maid at a fancy hotel in the suburbs of Montreal. And let me tell you, it's a pretty interesting job, especially for a 16-year-old. I know too much now, I feel. So that was also why I put that in the first book. So in terms of what's reflected from my life, I would say the first book in that trilogy, which is named A Disappearance at the Bunry Hotel, that would have the most like inspired from my life.
Oh, that sounds like it would be a really interesting job, and also probably would make staying at a hotel really weird.
Yeah, I am very critical now. Anytime we stay, I'm always like, we have to tip really well.
It's like, I know what these people go through. They need tips.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So many gross things.
Oh. So, do you have any advice for those who would want to write or write their own cozies specifically?
I would say the biggest thing is getting over trying to have the perfect idea already planned out. You just have to start writing. And for me, my brain is kind of really structured. I'm a very organized person. I have an admin job, like in terms of a day job. So cozies have a good structure to go off of. So it kind of seems less intimidating than maybe writing in another genre, or it doesn't for me. So I would say just kind of write what you like to read, because already you kind of have a template in your head. So that's a good starting point, and you just take it from there and see where it goes.
That's really good advice, because though with me, I like to write by the seat of my pants. So it's like my characters do not follow structure at all.
Oh, I find that so fascinating, though. I also read, I think Stephen King, he has a book about writing, and he kind of said that he kind of, is a pantser in the sense that he'll be like, what if this happens? And then he just goes off of that. And that to me is kind of really scary. Like, I plan out all my chapters, like the general ideas, not like word for word, before I start writing. So I feel like it gives me a sense of calm. And then when it comes time to actually write in the chapter, I already have an idea and I'm not just sat there wondering how I should go about it.
Oh, I wish that's how my characters behave. But with me, it's like I tried to do that once. And as soon as I started, it was like, oh, yeah, that's cute. And you're just kind of like, wait, who's in charge here? Because I created always wanted you.
Exactly. Yeah, they have a mind of their own.
Oh, one of my favorite writing quotes I ever saw was one that said, I create the character, and then from then on, I take dictation.
Totally.
Oh, that can be great, but it can also be really frustrating.
Yeah, you go down a path that you're like, I didn't know I was going to end up here.
Or you end up with a, wait a minute, you weren't supposed to be the killer in this book. Why are you confessing to me right now that you did it? I didn't set up the clues for you. I'm sorry. Oh. So in your series, do you have a favorite character, or would you get in trouble with your other characters?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't think I could choose between my two main characters. And it's kind of a side note. It's kind of funny because when I started writing my second series, in my head, I got a little paranoid thinking they were kind of similar. But I think now that I've written more in both series, like, it doesn't feel that way anymore. But one of my favorite side characters is, her name is Simone Gray, and she's from the Deadly Exclusives trilogy set in Montreal. And she's kind of like, well, if you're a fan of old Hollywood, I have a clear picture of my head of the type of side character, the rich woman who likes to throw parties all the time. And she's always worried about her jewelry and how she's presented. And she says whatever she wants without thinking of the repercussions. And she's kind of very aloof. And to me, that was a really fun, silly character to write. And I even, I joined this promo called Twisty Tales and Cozy Crimes over on Prolific Works. I think even one of your previous guests, SC Merritt, is also part of that promo. So when I was invited to join, I had to write a whole entire new novella that would be available for free for a year. And I was like, she would be the perfect character to go off of for the new novella. And the way I wrote Simone is that she had four or five, I can't remember now, different husbands. And I was thinking I can almost write a different novella for each of her marriages. And that'd be really fun to do. So I keep going back to her in my head. So I got to say, she might be my favorite, like, side character.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny, because as soon as you started describing her, I got, and you can tell me if I'm way off base, but have you ever seen the movie The Women?
I love that movie so much, Bug. I'm really excited. I love that movie.
She kind of reminds me of the Countess.
Yes. exactly. Oh, I'm so glad someone else knows that movie. That is such, it's basically, I like to compare it to Mean Girls, but from the 30s.
Yes.
Oh, that movie has such a good cast. Like, Joan Crawford is such a good villain. And
absolutely.
Rosalind Russell, the like catty kind of wanting to hear all the rumors and trying to infiltrate in every conversation. Oh, perfect.
And I love Joan Crawford's line toward the end. There's a name for you ladies, but it isn't used in high society outside of a kennel.
Yes, that is a perfect quote.
Oh, I love that. Unfortunately, I also find myself relating a little too well to the writer friend in that little group.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
The one that Rosalind Russell is always picking on her writing, and it's like, Roz, stop.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
I actually, my boyfriend got it for me on Blu-ray, so I'm due to rewatch it.
Oh. I happen to have it on my DVR, and I just watched it today, so.
Oh, how convenient. I have the Turner Classic Movies channel, and I have over like 150 movies recorded that I don't know how long it's going to take me to get through.
Yeah, I got that same channel, and part of my DVR is from back in the new year when they did the Thin Man marathon. I love the Thin Man.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen the first one of those. I'll definitely, if I see them, I check every week to see what's playing. So if I see them coming up, I'm definitely going to record the rest of them.
The second one is great because it's an early Jimmy Stewart role.
Yes, he's one of my favorites.
I will not spoil the end of that, but it is a very surprising role for Stewart. I will just say that.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm gonna have to check it out.
Oh, okay. Back on the topic of writing, which is why we're here. Do you have an author that's most influenced your writing?
That's a good question. I would say lately, it's not necessarily cozy. Well, it's literally not cozy, it's horror. But Catriona Ward's The Last House on Needless Street has like stayed in my brain. I read it about 2 months ago, and just, it's not structured, it's not linear, but the way she writes is so fascinating, and that's inspired me. I'm not too sure how I can integrate that in a cozy that's more structured, but seeing authors do new things like that really inspires me. So she's definitely one. And in terms of cozies, actually the first author that got me into cozies in 2020 when nothing felt good in the world was London Lovett. She has the Starfire cozy series that's set in the 1920s. Surprise, surprise that I'm into it. So I love that style of writing. I love the main character, Poppy, and her brother. And then I moved on to her other series. She has a Port Danby one where the lead has a very strong sense of smell, which I do not have. I'm the opposite. I can never smell anything. So right there, I'm like, I cannot relate, but it fascinates me. And just the whole world she creates with the towns and every little detail. And it's just so cozy. And it really inspires me to include those elements in my future series as well.
Those sound great. This is why I love asking that question. I always end up with a longer to be read list.
Oh yeah, those lists never end.
But with detail, I understand what you get with that, because I recently discovered a classic mystery writer from like the 30s. Todd Downing. And his use of descriptions is just amazing. I love it.
I gotta say, I haven't read a lot of mysteries from that era. That is something that I should look into to read more, because it'd be interesting, especially if I'm writing books set in that era. It'd be cool to kind of incorporate how they actually wrote stuff back then.
Yeah, I recommend Todd Downing. He's actually a very fascinating person in his own right. He was like the first Native American to get published.
Oh.
And his books, I just read Murder on the Tropic and just started Vultures in the Sky.
Oh. Vultures in the Sky. That is such an intriguing title.
Yeah. Murder on the Tropic was interesting because the way he used yellow, every single victim complained of seeing that everything looked yellow before they really fell ill and eventually died.
Okay. Ooh, that is interesting.
But yeah, he's now one of my favorites of that era anyway.
I wrote it down, so I'm definitely going to look that up later.
Yay, I highly recommend it. So if you and your main characters sat down for coffee or whatever your preferred caffeine intake is, what would you get and what would they get?
I would get just, well, I guess now because, you know, I'm over in Ontario and I can finally say winter is done, because April's always kind of a wild card month in Canada. So I'm going to transition into the iced caffeinated beverages. So I would say just like an iced coffee with a bit of almond milk, which is a pretty basic order, but it works for me. And in terms of my character, it would be Annabelle from the Silver Screen Coven series, so my Southern gal. And I would say she'd be a straight up black coffee, because she wants to keep the ball rolling and help the publicity department over at MGM. And she has no time for dilly-dallying.
So she would not be one of those ones in line saying, I want a vanilla macchiato, soy milk latte, whatever.
Oh, no, no. Although she might ask for moonshine if they had that.
Yeah. Well, of course, you're in that era.
Exactly. I like to, in the stories, I have to keep track of it now in like a side document or whatever, because I like to sprinkle in some of her stories from her pageant days, and they get funnier and funnier. But at some point I gotta, you know, remember them if I mention them. And one of them has to do with like moonshine and her family.
I actually wrote a book set in the 20s, and one of my favorite things to do was to actually incorporate some of the slang terms.
Yes.
That they used back then.
Oh yeah, I pretty much incorporated that in all of my all of the books basically. And you want to get a good balance, because you don't want it to sound too modern day, but then if you use too many, people are like, okay, this is too much. Even my mom. My mom left a review on one of the books, and she was like, maybe a glossary for the slang, which cracked me up. But she's the only one that said it, so I'm like, I don't think I have to, because it's just my mom that says that. But yes, the slang is always so fun to incorporate. And I've been asked, because a lot of my family is French, they're like, oh, are you going to translate the books? But then I'm thinking, I don't know how I'm going to translate all that slang. Like, it's going to sound clunky, so I'm going to have to find a way eventually.
Yeah, it's like, okay, slang itself is its own language, so translating a sub-language into another language, that to me just blows my mind.
Exactly, like I wonder if even in the 1930s in Montreal, like the French Canadians, was there even slang? Like, to be honest, I'd have to look into that, because I'm not sure.
It was actually hard for me to find the slang for the 20s. And there's part of me that still to this day kind of wonders, did I do British 20s slang or did I do US 20s slang?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Oh. Well, I haven't gotten any reviews saying, hey, they used the wrong one, so.
Can you imagine someone's like, actually.
Yeah, that would be, I would actually get a real big kick out of that if someone did that eventually.
Yeah, it's going to be me. No, I'm kidding.
So when you're not writing these great books, what other hobbies do you have?
Well, I really enjoy doing yoga. I try to, you know, work out in the week, but yoga is almost like, it doesn't even count for a workout in my head. It's almost like to clear my mind too. I really like yoga with Adrienne over on YouTube. I've been doing her videos for years now. And she even does a January 30-day yoga challenge, and it's all free. So highly recommend that, and especially for, you know, your writer brain that keeps spinning all the time. I feel like that really helps. What other hobbies do I have? Obviously, I like to read. And then I walk my dog, who's kind of currently running around and breathing hard right now. I don't know what's going on. And so, fun fact, I named her Harlow after Jean Harlow, the actress from the 30s. And I can't think of any other hobbies, like listening to music. I like to rap while I do household chores, stuff like that.
Oh, that's great. And I love that you named your dog after a 1930s actress.
Yes, I was, it took my boyfriend a bit of convincing. And now, like, clearly when you look at her, it's like, obviously that's her name. So I was pretty proud of myself for getting that in there.
I have a dog and I desperately wanted to name her Asta after the thin man's dog, Asta. Yeah. But I got vetoed.
So what's your dog's name?
Ruby.
Well, that's still, you know, it's like it was a popular name from that era. So it's still, you know, it's still in that realm.
Yeah. But she is a much more of a Ruby than she would be an Asta.
Yeah. It's so funny how, yeah, once you choose a name, it's like, clearly that's the name for the dog and not any of the other options you had considered.
Right. They just seem to embrace it in their personalities.
Yeah, seriously. I even, when my boyfriend bothers me, I'm always like, oh, Harlow. I was like, wait, that's not your name.
So how can my snoops and sleuths follow you? Because you are so much fun, I'm sure they're going to want to follow you.
Well, thank you. I have a Facebook page, so it's just my name, Dominic Daou, author. I'm also on Instagram. It's dominic.daou. And I'm also on TikTok, which I think is author Dominique Daou, or a combination of that. I like to think I'm funny. I like to include my writing assistants, aka my cat and my dog. So I'm active on those socials. I also have a website, Dominique Daou Author. And if you sign up for my newsletter, which is a monthly newsletter, you get a free novella. So it's also set in the 30s from some side characters from my Deadly Exclusives trilogy. So that's a fun story as well. And you get it for free if you sign up for the newsletter. So I think that's pretty much all the platforms I'm on.
And I will be sure to include the links in the show's notes.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Yeah, it's probably easier than me just saying it with my French accent.
Oh, I've had so much fun talking with you. I can't believe we're at the last question already.
I know, this was so fun. Thank you again for having me.
So what is one complaint your characters would have about you as an author?
I guess it would be that I can get too in my head sometimes. You know, you can be a little, in terms of writing, I guess, like a little more loose. I don't, you know, there's a structure, obviously, but you can step out of the bounds. Sometimes you don't always have to stay in the little, like, square you set for yourself. And I guess that applies to life in general. So I guess they would tell me to snap out of it sometimes.
I think a lot of authors would have their characters tell them that too.
I would love to have a dinner party with my two main characters from my series. I think that would be a hoot.
You know, I think it'd be fun if I did that with my characters too. I mean, for one, my characters are elves, so it would be awesome to just, you know, have a face-to-face with a couple of elves. But also, I just think it would be fun to where it's like, okay, you're here. Tell me what's going to happen next. And
yeah, you tell me. You can write from now on. Go ahead.
Right. Oh, thank you for being on the show. This was so much fun.
Yes, I agree. Thank you for having me. I can't wait to listen to more of your episodes as well.
Oh, well, I hope you enjoy listening to them. And of course, be sure to check me out, listeners. If you've missed any of the past shows, you can find them on my website, thecozysleuth.com/podcasts. And Snoops and Sleuths, you've heard another great interview here on The Cozy Sleuth. If you're a cozy author out there who wants to be on the show and spread the word about your book, come to my website again. That's thecozysleuth.com/contacts. And we'll get you on the schedule. And if you like cozies read by live actors, check out The Cozy Mystery Rat's Maze, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Until next time, this is Leanna Shields saying, keep cozy.